Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Full Year Results 2014 and publication of the Annual Report 2014 conference call. I am Sharon, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome from our side. It's a pleasure to present our 2014 results to you this afternoon. With me is Tobias Knechtle, our CFO, and over the next 20-25 minutes, we would roughly talk you through our results presentation that you find on our webpage, and I assume that all of you have in front of you. Tobias, if I may ask you to talk us through the financials, and then I will conclude with the strategic and the outlook for the next 2 years.
Thank you, Michael. Warm welcome also from my side, ladies and gentlemen. I assume that you had the time by now to run through the presentation, so instead of running through line by line almost, I will try to highlight the aspects which are important to us and hopefully to you as well. Nevertheless, I'd like to start with a step back. Annual results presentation is always the right moment also to make a short step back and take some distance from the pure numbers, and that is on page four. I think we can say that the objectives that we announced last year that we want to pursue, that these were largely achieved. We really made the step last year from being mostly a wholesaler to being a retailer, and how far that transformation has progressed and how much more is to come, Michael will elaborate on further on. Last year, we've seen the divestment of Valeura Services. We also announced that we'll divest Valeura Trade, and that we're in the middle of that process. As far as the core business is concerned, we made good progress as well here. As you can see in the numbers, we expanded the food and service lines. Ditch Bread Zelkönig is in full expansion, especially also from the wholesale side. Retail Switzerland has yielded very positive results. Overall, the retail division has, on an adjusted basis, a significant plus as well. Finally, by acquiring Nabil, we've closed the remaining holes that we had in our Swiss-wide network, and this allows us to leverage even more our position. Finally, we've continued to focus our network on really heavily frequented sites. As far as financial are concerned, of course, we'll review that more in detail, but we had a positive sales index of 102.3, so over 2% growth. Our adjusted operating profit, so EBIT, stands at 51 million. That is a plus of 9 million compared to the adjusted 2013 figure. Let's run now a bit more into the details, and I'll jump immediately to page six, and that is an introduction page. Because, of course, 2013 again has been affected by several special effects, and I think it's good to spend 1 minute to understand how to read the figures. The left-hand side shows the structural transformation and the impact on our figures, and the right-hand side, the extraordinary charges and one-offs we had. Started on the left-hand side, the only thing that you see in the P&L down to EBIT, so revenues, gross profit, operating cost, is from our continued businesses, core businesses, that is retail, Ditch Bread Zelkönig, and corporate. While Valeura Services for the period up to the sale end of July and Valeura Trade for the full year are classified and shown under held for sale. In order to make the figures comparable, we also adjusted 2013 in the P&L, both in the presentation year and in the annual report. When it comes to the balance sheet, we have adjusted in this presentation the 2013 figures. We, due to IFRS, we're not allowed to do that in the annual report, but we've conveyed enough information, I think, that you can do the bridges where needed. As far as the one-offs are concerned, on the one hand, on the right-hand side, the one that is not in is, of course, Naville. We've only closed the transaction on end of February, so the figures are will be reported with us as of 1st of March. But the one-offs that affected 14 were, first of all, the Panini's sales, so the collecting items for the World Cup that we're taking out, the cost linked with the acquisition of Naville and new investment in new services. Then the large bulk is, of course, Retail Germany reassessment of the intangible assets and the other one-off linked to Germany, that is 19 million. Then in 13, we made two adjustments. One is the press margin in Switzerland. Through the sale of the service division, we shifted some of the margin, or we adjusted the margin, and we adjusted 2013 to reflect that in Retail Switzerland. And finally, IAS 19, our favorite IFRS rule. In 2013, we had a windfall profit of over 10 million due to the change in the conversion rate for our pension fund. Moving on directly to page 8, this page is actually, I guess, the most important one to understand on a high level, our performance. Starting from the left-hand side, the 77 million is what you have in mind, of course, as EBIT for 2013. If I adjust it for the discontinued operations, and which leads us to the 59, which you'll find in the annual report, and I adjust it for the two effects I just mentioned as one off for 13, you get to 42 million, which is the basis for our comparison. And in 14, starting from the 30 million reported EBIT, I adjusted for the one-offs you see on the right-hand side, which I just explained, and that leads us to 51 million. That is, we have a 9 million increase in operational performance year on year. That is a 21% increase. Hereby, we're especially proud of the development in Switzerland, with adjusted result improving by 6 million. That is also to say that we compensated and overcompensated the margin effect. Retail Germany, which we show for the first time, stands at 11 million. So we have a profitable network in Germany, Luxembourg, and Dutch Rätselkönig finally increased by almost 20%, that is 5 million more, especially due to the strong wholesale business, the B2B, but also good performance at the outlets. Moving on to page 9, we have decided to show overall in that presentation a much higher level of details, as we are much cleaner in terms of divisions. It's also the time to go one level deeper. And the first one is to show more clarity on the network of outlets that we're having. We have 2,600 outlets, which are well balanced between Switzerland and Germany as the large countries, and almost evenly split between the three main operating models we're having: own shops, so own operated shops, agencies operated by agents, and then franchise, whereby I add franchise and partners being simply a softer kind of franchise, but where we still have the control of the rental agreements. Moving on to the retail, to the net revenue page on page 10, you can see that we had a nice increase of 2%, as I just said. Adjusted for the Panini sales, we have a 2% increase, almost equally coming from the retail side and from Dutch Rätselkönig. Switzerland compensated the volume decline and also the more focused network. Germany has significant increase from tobacco and also through their own operated outlets. Therefore, the big increase in 2.8% coming from Germany. Rätselkönig, 7% coming purely from the own retail POS. and ditch 13% increase coming largely from the B2B business in Germany that gives a 11% growth at ditch Brezelkönig, with Valora growing 1% in Switzerland and over 5% in Europe. I'll briefly jump to the gross profit. The only thing to mention here is that we have a 2% increase. The one-off adjustment that I have not mentioned so far was 2.3 million in Germany. It's mentioned, of course, at the initial page, but not in the revenue. That shows that Switzerland was able to compensate the margin effect. Germany, if I adjust for that one-off, is also on the previous year's level, and Ditch Brezelkönig has a good development. Cost efficiency on page 13 shows a big increase of 5%. If I adjust, however, for the one-offs, which is IAS 19 in Switzerland, Retail Germany revaluation, and the project cost, we only are left with a 1% increase, which can be totally attributed to Ditch Brezelkönig, where because of the higher production volume we're having, we also have naturally higher costs. However, we have an increased cost ratio, and that is also valid for the group as a whole. We improved our cost ratio, and organizations like Retail Switzerland actually even lowered the cost. Retail Germany has slightly higher costs, but most of them because of bearing a higher share of the group IT cost, and also because we operate more own shops and therefore have own personnel in our P&L. Coming to page 14, very briefly, the EBITDA stands at 109 million, adjusted at 112 million, that is a 15% increase. And on the right-hand side, the EBIT was already mentioned, 30 million stated, 51 adjusted. And if I move on to page 15, you see how these 51 million are decomposed in our two main divisions. On the left-hand side, retail, with a 40% increase in adjusted performance, whereby you see that Switzerland was up 6 million and Germany, as just explained, mostly because of the cost side, down 3 million, but still standing at 11 million profitability, while Switzerland contributes 15 million. Ditch Brezelkönig has an increase of 19%, almost 5 million to 31 million, and no major one-offs overall. Moving on to page 16, that's the second part where we, or third part already by now, where we provide more detail. We have decided to show as well the ROCE by our divisions. But let me first start with the ROCE on group level. You see that, of course, the ROCE unadjusted in the middle at 3.3, almost half compared to last year due to the special effects in both years. If I adjust it for the one-offs I explained at length now, we have a significant increase of almost 1 percentage point to 5.5%. That is, of course, not a level we're satisfied with, but we're moving in the right direction, and it is our firm goal to show a ROCE of around 8% 2016, latest 2017. In retail, what jumps out is the big decline, which is because we've got all the special effects bundled in here, very positive effects in 2000, one-off effects in 2013, and the adjustments in 2014, which leads to a stated 2.5% ROCE in 14. If I adjust it again, we have a 0.4 percentage point increase to 6.7% in 14. Ditch Brezelkönig increases from 6.3% to 7.6%. That is a 1.3 percentage point increase. And I think what I want to mention here is that, of course, in all cases, here goodwill is included, and especially in the case of Ditch Brezelkönig, but as well, as far as Germany is concerned, goodwill, as you well know, makes up a big part of our balance sheet, of our assets, and therefore the operational performance, especially of Ditch Breit zu König, without the goodwill is stellar. Moving on to page 17, from EBIT down to net group profit. Very little to say from the continuing operation, except that the financing activities yield the results we expected, with a 4 million increase. Net profit from discontinued operations stands at minus 9 million. That is composed of minus 47 million from trade, and I'll come back to that on the next page, 5 million at services, and then eventually 32 million proceeds from the sale of our service division. Therefore, net group profit heavily influenced by all this one-off stands at 6 million for 2014. Varora Trade, as said on page 18, has very large number of special effects in. The first one jumps out on the net revenue side, where you see that Switzerland has a much lower number in terms of revenue because we changed the operating model to being commission-based only. Operating costs are impacted by the reorganization readjustments we made. Net profit at minus 47 million includes special charges and mostly impairment of 52 million. Adjusted EBIT is positive at 3 million. And what you'll be interested in, of course, is we announced that we are selling the division. That's why we classified under asset held for sale. We are in the middle of that process, which we initiated recently, and have very strong interest from numerous parties. And beyond that, at that stage, of course, there's not much more we can and want to say about that process. On the balance sheet side, on page 19, there's a positive effect coming from the net working capital. The leverage ratio is in the corridor where we want to have it, with including the discontinued operation at 1.7 times. The shareholders' equity are 44%, and our capital employed on average over the five quarters and including the cash stands at 925 million. My final page is the cash flow from operations. We managed to improve it by 2 million. That is, we overcompensated the loss we had in the margin from the sale of the division. The CapEx is higher than last year due to two effects. One is that, as announced, we had the peak of our CapEx in Switzerland last year. And the second one is, as in 2013, our CapEx was heavily back-end loaded. Quite a significant amount of the 2013 CapEx was actually cash flow relevant in 2014. That leads us to 34 million free cash flow from continued operation. And if you take the average of both years, you actually see that we managed to pay the dividend out of the free cash flow from the continued operation, even excluding any gains on disposals. And with this, I'd like to hand over to Michael.
Thank you very much, Tobias. I would quickly like to talk you through what we call the multidimensional transformation of Valora. On page 22, we illustrate what has changed and will change in the group since 2010. Ultimately, over the last 2 years, when I joined the company, we started a significant transformation program where we start to focus ultimately the company on the retail activities and dispose and exit our wholesale activity, which historically have been very much geared towards the print wholesale, print logistics activity, both in Austria, Switzerland, German-speaking part in Switzerland, and Luxembourg. This has been divested as part of our divestiture of the service division over the last 2 years. First transaction was in Austria at beginning of 2013, and last year we completed very successfully a transaction with our German-speaking Swiss business in the German-speaking part of Switzerland and Luxembourg business that we sold mid-year last year. We announced now that we're in a divestiture process for our trade division that we anticipate to conclude this year as well. And by doing that, we will have exited actually of initially three businesses, three divisions that have been operating under the roof of Valora. We exited two, but we added also a very important part to the business in this space of immediate consumption with the acquisition of Ditch Brezelkönig, a very strong foothold for us to further develop both the retail at high frequency locations and the immediate consumption activities at similar locations. Turning to page 23, we provide you with an overview of this multidimensional process in a sense that we structure our own effort along three lines. First of all, the structural changes, number one, from wholesale to a focused retail company operating micro-retail locations at high-frequency locations with the exit I just mentioned of our wholesale activities, but also with the expansion of the core business, including, most significantly last year, the acquisition of Naville, our main competitor here in the Swiss market, where we've been able to close our network to operate now a network of kiosks across Switzerland with the acquisition of our competitor in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. We will also continue as part of that structural transformation our improvements in terms of the cost position of the company. We will increase the cost efficiency even further. We will do that by leveraging the synergies, specifically through the acquisition here of Naville that we have in Switzerland, but also across the group by applying a group structure that fits now the new focus on the retail and immediate consumption business. One important element of that will also be our IT platform that we will streamline to the new focus group, and where we expect significant savings by doing so. Secondly, at the same time, over the last 2 years when we were working on the transformation, we have been also heavily investing in the transformation of the core business, specifically the kiosk, the retail business in Switzerland and Germany. We invested heavily in our food beverage activities at these locations. We increased the share of food and beverage in refurbished stores. We improved our own brand offering in the food space with our OK brands. We integrated the Ditch Brezelkönig products in these activities, and we will continue to do so. And we will also further leverage the vertical integration that is a strong and important part of our Ditch Brezelkönig business, where we control the full value chain from production to retail. We also intend to further establish product services with a higher vertical integration at our retail store, the kiosks. And last but not least, we will also intend to expand our Ditch Brezelkönig concepts further internationally. We will take the Brezelkönig concepts beyond the existing borders, and we announced today that we will open a new Brezelkönig store over the next weeks, actually in Austria, in Vienna, and we will continue to investigate further growth opportunities beyond the existing geographies for that concept in the upcoming months and years. The third dimension is our service dimension. We have been, over the last 2 years, been very successful in introducing new services at our stores, services that benefit from the fact that we have a very high frequency in our stores, direct contact with our consumers. We have more than 850,000 customers every day at our stores only in Switzerland. On the basis of that, we've been able to successfully launch products like our financial service products, the introduction of the OK MasterCard, Visa, debit cards that we launched in our stores. We're one of the most successful ever introduced in the European markets. We have completed successfully cross-channel promotions here in Switzerland with what we call the Monster Deals to celebrate the 80th anniversary of our kiosk network. And we expanded our pick-up and drop-off services, which are very much benefiting from the growth in e-commerce, mainly here in Switzerland. We announced also today that we further investigate additional new services over the next coming weeks and months. We will inform you about new products, proprietary products that we developed for our kiosk network, starting here in Switzerland, but over the coming years also will be rolled out to the German network, where we developed cross-channel offerings, mostly in the financial service space, where we will add new services, where we expect that we can add new products, meaningful services to basically benefit most from the frequency that we have at these stores. Over the coming pages, I only want to, in the interest of time, briefly highlight some of the initiatives. On page 24, we summarize what Tobias already illustrated in the financial section, already quite impressively, the performance of the Expresskönig. We are very pleased with the performance of both the B2C and the B2B business. In B2C, an important initiative will be to expand now the successful concepts in retail to new markets. We do that also on the basis of already a very international B2B business. We operate our B2B business already more or less on a global basis. As Tobias said, we're one of the largest and most successful library production companies, and we sell these products across the globe, and on that basis we are very confident that there is also space in many new markets for our Bretzelkönig concept, retail concept. On page 26, and in page that we used already in previous presentations, important to see that as part of this multidimensional transformation, we actually managed to establish a company that is already on a gross profit basis today. The majority is generated in the food and beverage space, so we changed completely the structure, the earnings potential of the company on the basis of a significant change in the product mix, and we will continue to invest behind food and beverages, which accounts today of more than 50% of our gross profit in the core business, and behind the service and other products that account for 50% roughly, where we intend to add new initiatives over the upcoming months, as I mentioned earlier. Tobacco remains important to us. It's a stable category in our network, a category that offers a lot of opportunities also on the promotional side. These opportunities are also linked to our digital initiatives, where we will be able to capture even better our consumers in a digital way, so we can address and promote to them more direct. Tobacco, a very attractive category to benefit from that, and press and books with 14% across the whole network in our core business of the gross profit will also remain an important part. It still generates frequency, but it will be operated on a smaller scale, more sophisticated scale. We anticipate that print will continue to decline, mostly in the dailies. Magazines hold up much better to that negative trend and will remain an important part of our, specifically of the kiosk offering. Page 26, there you see in a more detailed manner the actual improvements we made to the stores, the refurbished stores in Switzerland. You find on the right-hand side of the chart, you see on the right side the modernized 187 POS. We actually refurbished far more than that by now, for comparison reasons, we used these 187 as of end of last year. You see the breakdown in net revenue, and the most important element here is that you see that we managed by refurbishing these stores to significantly increase the net revenues that we generate with food by roughly 12%. This is also impressive in the light of the fact that it typically takes time until consumers anticipate or accept new categories at existing store, knowing that a lot of these stores have only been refurbished very recently. I think it's a very promising and impressive result that we managed to realize here over the last 2 years. On page 27, some more details on our growth strategy in services. As I mentioned, today we are an access point for a lot of consumers, both in Switzerland and Germany. Tobias provided you with the details on our network. We have, in both in the German and the Swiss market, over the last 2 years, introduced new services very successfully. We are the largest retailer for iTunes, for example. We are a very successful partner for MasterCard and Visa on the debit card side, and on the basis of that success, we will continue to introduce new services, mostly in the financial service space and transaction space over the upcoming months, benefiting from this cross-channel opportunity, so the opportunity that we have to approach consumers in the offline, in the store, and converting these clients to online, be it promotions or services. In terms of outlook, on page 29, we published this year for the 2014 EBIT improvement 21% of improvement. It's important that you look through all the noise, and I think we provided you with a lot of details to understand the numbers in detail. You see a very strong improvement of the operating results already in 2014. 2014 was for us a peak year in terms of the refurbishment. We will continue to invest in 2015, and 2015 will also be affected by a number of effects from the transaction of trade, from the intended divestiture of trade, but also of the integration of Navil. So it's also important that you look through these effects that we guided in a very detailed manner for 2015. And from on the operating basis, you see on the left-hand side that we also intend to continue to grow the EBIT line by another 33% and 24% in 2016, bringing us to 70 million of EBIT in 2 years from now. This includes, as I mentioned, all the one-offs related to the recent transaction with Navil, but also the divestiture of trade. But it also includes a guidance for our impact that we have from the euro-Swiss franc exchange rate. We guided that as a 10 million impact on our guidance at parity. Nobody knows where the currency will be at the end of the year, but provides you with a clear and detailed guidance what we have to expect at the parity level, and we will see at the end of the year where we end up with. We are very confident in that plan. We are very confident that on the basis of that plan, we will also continue to deliver on our long-term plan in terms of balance sheet structure and our commitment to our dividend. And with that, I would open up now the Q&A session.
The first question is from Christian Weitz, Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everybody. First of all, thanks for the presentation, pretty good numbers. Can you provide us with an adjusted EPS that refers to the 51 million adjusted EBIT in 2014? And then, if possible, can you give us an idea? You mentioned that there were strikes in Germany and that this had an impact on Deutsch. I know that is probably not really possible to make a calculation or so, but you must have an idea how much or how big this impact was, given that you mentioned it. And then you mentioned these new services that should be introduced and that should leverage also the vertical integration. Can you give us an idea what you mean with this?
Hi, Christian. Thank you for your questions. I'll start with the first one, the adjusted EPS. I haven't calculated the figure, I must say, but if you add basically 20 million, which is the one-offs to the net result from continued operations that we're also showing, and divide that again through the number of shares, you will get to that figure. And that, of course, doesn't consider then the tax effect on that. But with that, I think you get a very good approximation. Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take this as a proxy and just calculate a kind of tax rate as you said. But okay.
Then, as far as Deutsch is concerned, the on the impact on the strike, it had a roughly 1 percentage point impact on our same store development. So, over the whole year, we really could measure what the impact was. And, I mean, I think you've been there, and it was really impressive. And what really hurt us as well is that we have, with Deutsche Bahn, with the German railways, the obligation to fully staff the point of sales, even though there was a strike. And we happened to be in Germany at that time, and there was really literally nobody in the stations, and our shops had still to be full. So that really was hurt us badly in the second half of 14.
So on the third question you had regarding services, you bear with me that we do not want to be too specific right now. Over the next couple of weeks and months, we will then be more specific by announcing what we have in mind. But the biggest opportunity we have currently is in the transaction space. So all the trends on online payment, the success we had with the debit MasterCard and Visa cards, on the basis of that success, we will continue to invest and to develop proprietary solution in the financial service and financing space, and we will communicate to the market what we intend to do and be more specific by the time that we actually go to the market with that new service. But there is currently a team within Valora working on a completely new service that we will launch in 2015. You also find some of the small in the small prints in our comment, also some of the costs that are related to that. So it is a significant initiative, but by the time being, we are not in a position to comment on any more details. Important, as always, as in the past, since I joined, we do not include such initiatives in our guidance. So we have included the cost. We haven't have included an assumption in terms of the development costs that are related to these initiatives, but we have not included the upside that we expect from these new digital or cross-channel based initiatives. I hope this answers your question without being more precise, but you bear with us that we do not feel to be in a position to be more specific on this one.
Yes, thank you. And maybe if I may, another question regarding tobacco consumption or tobacco demand in Germany. I mean, the general trend goes into another direction, but you say that demand or your revenues in that field was very good. Is it still that the demand is concentrating at the kiosks, or what's the driver there behind?
I think there are three elements. First of all, it's the revenues are benefiting from a fact that even though we have a negative trend in terms of the volumes or number of sticks that are sold, we benefit from the price increases. This is a long-term trend. So with every price increase that is established by the industry, we benefit from that. So that's why tobacco is actually for us a pretty stable category in terms of revenue and margin. Now, what comes on top as an opportunity, why we benefit actually currently also from some of the regulatory impact the industry faces, is that we become a far more important destination, first of all, for consumers, so there are far more restrictions in the market, so we gain share in these markets by the fact that you find less of vending machines, for example, by the fact that you cannot smoke in public spaces, so in public spaces cigarettes are not sold anymore, so the consumers actually end up more and more in our stores. So this is a second trend where we rather benefit from the changes in the consumer behavior and specifically in the regulatory environment. And third, last but not least, we also benefit that we control, both in Switzerland and Germany, one of the largest displays area for these products, areas where, for example, also in Switzerland, just very recently in a discussion, it has been confirmed that from a regulatory point of view, at least for the next upcoming years, these display opportunities will remain, and their more and more promotional spend goes behind our stores rather than being spent on other traditional media or other promotional opportunities that the industry has. I think
Thank you.
This describes what is the current tobacco trend, why we are actually rather benefiting currently from the tobacco environment than being negatively affected. And the interesting part is obviously how the industry over time will respond, and I'm quite confident that you will see from the tobacco industry in general also some innovations over the upcoming years where I would expect, and again, that we can benefit from that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Caroline Price, Fargo Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I understand that you can't say more than you already have on your new services, but I was just wondering, for the one-off charges of $3.9 million in 2014 that you combined with the Neville acquisition costs, and then the $7 million in that you expect roughly in 2015 for integration costs and new product plans. I'm wondering, could you possibly give some idea as to how we could allocate each of those amounts to just to the Neville been a Veolia transaction, and then also for the 2015 guidance of roughly $7 million. How much of that would be roughly cash effective, and how much non-cash? Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Caroline. I mean, first of all, we have not provided any more detail, and we'll not provide a detailed breakdown. But in general, the 2014 was very much affected, actually, by the transaction costs related to Naville. As always, in these situations, if you acquire a company, there are typically some external costs to be covered. This is a significant amount of these 3.9 million. For the 7 million, we have not provided a detailed breakdown, and will not provide a detailed breakdown of the impact of Naville integration and other elements. There, it's important to understand that we just completed the transaction at the beginning of March. We're in the middle of the integration process. We took the view that the majority of the costs related to such an integration, for example, IT integration and other elements, will be charged in the 2015 results.
Maybe adding to that, 14 is really the part of the 3.9 million for Naville is really acquisition cost, while the 15 part attributable to Naville is integration cost. So we have we investing in integrating the company, in realizing the synergies, and it is early days as well. So you know, it would be premature, but we feel confident that with that amount, we managed to have both. The last part of your question is, what is cash and non-cash out of the 7 million that is expected to be largely all cash, but of course as well depends a bit on the implementation plan that we're having. So also for that, I would model rather cash, but a bit too early days to say that with a full certainty.
Okay, thank you. Just one follow-up maybe. As you do your refurbishments in the retail network, is there a possibility that there would be further sort of significant impairments, or do you think that that's less likely?
Oh, sorry, Karen. The line really was very bad. So actually, you said the investment, and then we did not understand the question.
I'm sorry, I'll repeat it. I'm just wondering, as you continue with your refurbishments of the retail network, do you expect there to be any significant impairments, or do you think that that's not so likely?
No, if we would expect significant impairments, we would have taken that them in the annual results 14, obviously. So at that stage, the figures that you're having in front of you reflect the plans that that we currently have.
Okay, thank you very much for your answers.
Welcome.
The next question is from Anna Patrice, Berenberg. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation and for the questions answered so far. A couple questions from my side. I didn't quite understand what are the 1 million charges are last year. So you were saying about the 7 million one-off from the press margin.
Yep.
So maybe you can elaborate on this. What is it exactly?
Yep.
Then another question was on the profitability in Switzerland. The gross profit has declined in Switzerland, but how is that working? Because my understanding was that you're pushing the food in Switzerland, and the food should have better gross margin versus the rest of the product mix. Still, the gross profit is declining. And then at the same time, your EBIT has significantly improved. So how are you able to improve the EBIT despite deterioration of the gross margin? And then the last question on return capital employed targets. So you were saying that you expect 8% return capital employed. What are your expectations by division, and I'm surprised to see such low returns on the Ditch Bread Electronic. Is it because of the goodwill? And if we adjust for the goodwill, what should be the returns in this division?
Okay, thank you for your questions. I'll start from the top with the press margin, the 7 million, what that actually is. COMCO, the competition authority in Switzerland, defines actually what margin is acceptable within the press wholesale business and on the retail side. As we were an integrated company beforehand, we did not have to apply this rule internally and have applied the margin that we originally and historically always had. However, through the sale of the service division, we had, of course, to implement that margin ruling. And these are the 7 million that we actually lost, or that we would have not had in 2013, would we already have applied that in 2013? I don't know if that is clear. It is, however, clear that that margin was factored in into the price of the service division that we sold.
And maybe what is important to add, obviously, this is the impact on 2014. Given the situation in the print market, this number going forward will not be breaking out, so will not be relevant anymore to us. And that's why it's a one-time effect.
So basically, you readjust your 2013 numbers as if you already saw it in 2013, and as if you already applied the normalized gross margin or the normal...
Exactly.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Then as far as the profit in Switzerland is concerned and why this is lower, that has largely to do with exactly that effect with the press margin that you commented. So if you look at the stated figures let me find the correct page, on page 12, you see the decline of half a percentage point, and that is exactly that 7 million that you lose, because that is in Switzerland where this margin shift occurred. If you normalize for that, you see that in the bullet points, you have an increase of over 3 million coming from retail Switzerland and Austria. Then as far as your last question is concerned, ROCE by division, starting with Ditch, you are absolutely right, and I hinted at that during the presentation, and that is also valid for retail and especially retail Germany. The numbers are so low because a big amount of the capital employed of Ditch Bretzel-König comes from the goodwill, which is also normal. I mean, we have acquired with Ditch Bretzel-König a company which is in full expansion, where we expect with the start of the international expansion, which we announced today, to show more growth in the coming years. And of course, part of that was reflected in the seller price and therefore is reflected in goodwill. We are not providing the... you can calculate it pretty easily yourself how much that is. You know how the goodwill is. We reflected the figure, but already here, coram publico, you can see that it's a sizable double-digit ROCE figure that you get from Ditch Bretzel-König if you exclude the goodwill portion, and that really reflects the health of that business, and of course that health and potential had a price, which reflects why we're not yet there, but continuing on that path of expansion, we're very confident to start generating value for our investors on a relatively short notice.
And so just to add to that, obviously, when we invest now in the business, and this applies also to the retail side, where also a significant goodwill position sits on the retail Germany side of the business, whenever we invest in the business, the ROCE is higher than the numbers you find on that page, and this creates then the positive momentum in terms of the ROCE development. And as you find on the left-hand side on the page, in, on terms of a group level, there you have a lot of elements which are also reflecting the transformation of the group that affect the capital employed. One of the elements is also to what extent you have to include cash items in a ROCE calculation. As you know from previous conversations, ROCE is a very important financial metric to Tobias and myself that we take very seriously in terms of the financial management and target setting in the company. And that's why we use fully loaded figures with all the cash that is trapped in the business, but also all the goodwill that we have to monetize. But whenever we invest, is the business is yielding significantly higher returns on the capital we allocate to the new investment.
Okay. Then again, back to the gross profit on the in Switzerland. So if I adjust, for this one-off 7 million, then your gross margin has only slightly improved, right? So how much is now the food in the retail division? Because you're showing how well it is increased in the refurbished stores, only in the part of the stores. But what is the impact overall? And what should we expect in terms of profitability overall on the gross margin and for the retail in Switzerland?
I mean, first of all, I think Tobias highlights that the most important impact, this shift in the press margin. But beyond that, you still have declines in print. And with that decline, obviously, what we do with food is compensate that decline. So the actual impact on the gross margin is bigger than the 7 million. That's only the part that was kind of a one-time shift, whereas the rest of the business was still impacted by a negative impact of the print revenue, and therefore also on a gross profit level, that we managed to compensate with the food across a very large network. And that's the second element that's important to understand. That's what you see and refer to on the page where we show the improvements for the refurbished store. We're still committed to the 300 stores that we refurbish in Switzerland, but ultimately there is a network beyond these 300 stores that we still operate. And therefore, in that part of the network, you don't see a similar positive development in food, by large part because we have not introduced food there. And that network, actually, we started already 2 years ago, but we accelerated that last year to reduce. So we reduced also the number of stores last year, which ultimately then has also a negative impact on the reported stated gross profit line. If you just compare the numbers versus previous year, this is not on a like-for-like basis. And so coming back to your question, what to expect, you have to expect, or at least we expect, the continuous growth of the food category. We will complete the 300 stores this year that we committed to last year or 2 years ago in Switzerland. We will accelerate now the development in the German market. We said very clearly we are behind in terms of the schedule there. We're definitely behind the Swiss development, but we will accelerate that. The first indication already from this year are very promising that in refurbished stores, there the food segment also starts to pick up and has a positive impact on the network there as well. And you will see ultimately only in 2000, end of 2000 or half year, second half year 15 and 16, our network in full swing with the full impact from the food, which is to a large extent also the explanation for the significant growth we see from the operating business that we guide on the last page for the 70 million EBIT guide.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anna, for your question.
We have a follow-up question from Christian Weitz, Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Me again. Can you elaborate a little bit on the 19.1 million one-offs in Germany? Can you split this in bits and pieces, where this amount has been allocated to? And then if you could elaborate about the what you consider a war chest, a possible war chest, and I would assume that if you would acquire something, you draw the target anything in the food segment. Is that correct? First and second, again, what would be a possible war chest?
Good. Let me start with the past, and Michael will tackle the future here. So what have we actually done in Germany? First of all, I invite you to read the financial commentary. We're really trying to be as explicit as we can about that transformation process there. But summarizing...
Actually, sorry to interrupt you. I mean, you refer probably to page 81 in your report, but there... I unfortunately cannot add up the numbers to the 19.1 million.
Good. Let me try now with and then we maybe can see if that adds up. 2.3 million gross profit impact. And here it's really that we took over the processes from Switzerland and had the for the first time a accrual being built for POS that were not had inventory check in 2014. So expanding or assuming that the results from inventory checks where we've done them have the same impact on the other POS. So that is this first effect that is on the GP level. Then we have a 16.7 million impairment on the intangible. That is an intangible that came from the acquisition of Convenient Concept, which has largely to do with the supply chain, where we, by taking it out, because we're saying it is not, the intangible should not be linked to convenience, to the model of Convenient Concept and Leckerland, and therefore we decided to impair that. On the cost side, we have 7.2 million impairment of various assets, where we made a thorough review of the balance sheet of Germany last year. These are mostly to do with the value of the stores and also of accounts receivable, which we impaired. On a positive note, with inverted commas, we released an earnout out of the acquisition of Convenience Concept of 7.1 million. That earnout would have been due at the end of 2014, and the objectives there have not been met, and therefore we could release that provision. If you sum all that up, if I'm not mistaken, you should get to the 19 million.
Okay, great.
In terms of the war chest, the future, I mean, first of all, yes, I can confirm we will continue with our strategy. Our strategy is to focus within the incumbent retail kiosk network on the food, so increasing the food, but also, and very importantly for the future as well, on the service, on our promotional activity. We will invest in loyalty. These are the aspects that will be important in the incumbent network. And for the immediate consumption, we will we are committed to further growth, and we also definitely would consider and be open to add on acquisition opportunities, but none of that has been factored in our guidance numbers. So The target would always be in the space I described, which would be strategically relevant or is strategically relevant to us. In terms of the actual war chest, I think we provided quite some detail now in terms of leverage ratios, stability of the balance sheet, including the discontinued businesses, but also excluding the discontinued business. We're committed, as I said earlier, to our dividend strategy, and given the significant uplift in earnings we expect now for the next upcoming years, I think adding this all up describes to you also a little bit in terms of the flexibility we will have going forward without being too specific. As an answer, maybe in one sentence, I mean, first of all, we have a lot of organic opportunities now. We have enough CapEx investment opportunities allocated to the ongoing business, and we would look opportunistically also at add-on acquisitions without being too concerned on the financing side, given the opportunities we see in the market and the sizes of these opportunities.
Okay, and then maybe also in a follow-up on ROCE. I mean, if I ask you where would you try to optimize it? Is it rather on margins and the income, or is it rather on the capital employed side? You probably answer, of course, both. But if you look at it, where do you see the better opportunities? Where do you see the better leverage? Is it that you try to optimize the capital employed, or is it that you in the first place try to bring up margins?
I think it's quite clear that we create now margin momentum, and this will be the main lever for both increasing ROCE and the substantial increase in free cash flow, especially because we're currently in a situation where we heavily invest in Switzerland. So we have seen the peak of investments last year or 2014, and from here we start to benefit from these investments, and that drives the earning growth. So this will be the main lever for ROCE. We will continue also to optimize the capital side of it. There will be an impact from all the transactions we completed now. Nabil on one hand, adding a little bit to our capital employed, but definitely on a group level, the divestiture of the trade division will have quite a significant impact that we do not guide now, but we shed quite some light, I think, or we have been very transparent in terms of the numbers you find in the annual report and also in the presentation where you see leverage ratios with and without that part of the business. So I think it gives you quite a good view in terms of the impact it will have on the balance sheet. But the main driver will be on the margin side, plus that all, as I said earlier, all the investments we invest in our core business yield a significantly higher return on capital employed than the numbers that we report that include the goodwill part.
Great. Thank you very much. Very clear.
We have a follow-up question from Caroline Price, Fargo Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just following on from that, what can you tell us so far about the capital intensity and maybe specifically sort of working capital, the sales type of performance of Nabil compared to your, the Valora retail network? What will the mix effect bring to if we don't consider the goodwill part of the acquisition? How does it compare to the existing retail operation?
Yeah. Thank you. The first thing to keep in mind is, of course, that Nabil is not 100% comparable to our trade or retail division, as it has the wholesale activities inside there. If I compare the pure retail operations of Nabil, I would say it is relatively comparable. They operate as well under agencies. At the end of the day, they have a product mix which, give and take, is relatively similar. So in terms of capital intensity and what that brings, I would not expect too much changes. It is clear that we however, have bought as well the building with Nabil, as I think we mentioned already at the time of the signing, and we have started exploring ways for the future of that building. And if we should come to the conclusion that the sale is advantageous for us, then that would, first of all, lead to cash in, and on the other side, reduce as well the capital used in these retail operations.
Okay, so it doesn't look like there's much improvement necessarily to do on the actual operational sort of working capital side there.
No. However, what you have on the EBIT side, and that's what we already said, is you of course have the synergy. So again, you manage to have to make more EBIT with a certain capital base. So the synergies, it's much more an effect of having better purchasing power, first of all, of having less cost behind. So using common resources, and that brings a better result, but it doesn't necessarily largely affect the capital side.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Good.
So it seems there are no further questions. Thank you very much from our side for attending this call and all the good questions and for your continued interest in Valora. We look forward to communicate further news over the upcoming months, and I hope to hear by the latest by the announcement of our half-year results. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.